You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
Last Friday, Health Minister Simeon Brown announced a major overhaul to New Zealand's public healthcare system. Among the changes he announced were reinstating a board for Te Whatu Ora, Health New Zealand, and partnering with the private sector to reduce the number of people on the backlog for elective surgeries, which would also see an additional investment of $50 million between now and the end of June. Earlier this week, the latest Taxpayers Union Courier poll was released, showing that for the first time since the general election, public favorability of Labour leader Chris Hipkins was higher than that of Prime Minister Christopher Luxon. And in this same period of time, the Greens recently launched a petition calling on the government to extend visa-free travel to visitors from Pacific Island nations. For our weekly catch-up, I spoke to the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March for the Green Party's take on all of these issues. So to begin, what was your reaction to Simeon Brown's announcement, in particular his plans for greater partnership with the private sector?
What this shows is that the government has always been about defunding and undermining the public health system to then give way to privatization. We have to make it clear that healthcare is a basic right and it should not be delivered by companies who are making a profit out of things like healthcare. What we need instead is the government adequately resourcing our public healthcare system and actually investing in primary care so we don't have so many people landing up in hospital or with conditions that could have been prevented by simply having access to a GP.
Do you think these reforms by Simeon Brown will have any impact on the waitlist and backlog as he's said they will?
I think that we have yet to see the evidence from Simeon Brown demonstrating that. But what we do know is that in countries like America, where they've basically offloaded the healthcare system to the private to private providers, we haven't seen better health outcomes. This is a government that is refusing to tax the wealthy few to ensure that we can have decently run public services, and this is why we're really concerned about the most recent move.
A number of workers in the public healthcare sector have said that this new proposal might exacerbate the shift of healthcare workers from the public to private sector. Do you think that this might be the case?
Well, particularly when the government has refused to adequately lift the wages of people in the public healthcare system, it leaves those public healthcare workers who are overworked in a really difficult position. And this is why we're already seeing a shift of healthcare workers moving to Australia. The solution here, as I said, is to put in place tax reform so we can have a good publicly owned, publicly run healthcare system that means people can get access to treatment when they need it rather than landing up in hospitals with emergencies because they couldn't get access to basic services.
Regarding the decision to appoint a board for Te Whatu Ora, Labour MP Aisha Vorall actually supported the move, saying it would bring an end to the tenure of Commissioner Lester Levy and the health system cuts he had proposed. How would you respond to that?
Well, I think Lester Levy was complicit in a lot of the moves by the government in relationship to creating this narrative to support privatization. I think a board will dilute that concentration of power. But again, in terms of the performance of a board, that is yet to be seen. At the end of the day, they'll still be having to carry out the government's agenda, which is to undermine our public healthcare system at the expense of low-income people of Maori and Pacifica and many other communities across the country who haven't had access to adequate healthcare.
And just to reiterate, what public healthcare overhauls would be made instead under a Greens-led government?
A Greens-led government would put in place measures that would lift the wages of our public healthcare workers. We would definitely resource things like the Dunedin Hospital. We would put in place, for example, a move towards actually having a publicly run dental care system. This would all be paid by a wealth tax that would actually make your healthcare bills way lower, but it also would lift the wages and conditions of the workers who are actually doing the most to serve our communities here in Aotearoa.
All right, moving on to the next topic. Earlier this week, the latest Taxpayers Union Curia poll was released, showing that for the first time since the general election, public favorability of Labour leader Chris Hipkins was higher than that of the Prime Minister Christopher Luxon, and that the coalition government wouldn't be able to hold enough seats to stay in power if another general election was held today. So I'd like to ask you about your reaction to the poll results and why you think they turned out the way they did.
I think it's just one poll, and so I'm always really careful of reading the tea leaves too much and sort of a single point in time. We've got to look at the overall trend. And the overall trend is telling us that the government is losing support. But that should come as no surprise, because I think most people in this country would be disappointed to see that, for example, rents continue to go up. That actually we haven't seen solutions to the biggest issues when it comes to inequality, poverty, homelessness, and the public healthcare system. And I think most people won't be buying the corporate speak from the Prime Minister, because they know that there are no solutions and all the jargon and corporate speak the Prime Minister is using.
With these results coming a year before the next general election, do you think that the poll results indicate that the coalition may be a one-term government?
It will be the case, but for me, the key thing is that we have work to do in the Greens. We have work to actually get out in the communities and not take any of these results in the polls for granted. And this is why we're working hard to produce an alternative budget and campaigns on the ground, so that we're out there talking to everyday people about the need to make sure that this is a one-term government. So while the polls do show that the government is losing support, we won't take that for granted. Because, for example, if Chloe Sobrek, our co-leader, had just acted alongside the polls, she would have never run or won Auckland Central, because the polls showed her at the time that it would have been impossible to win it.
Just going off what you just said, the approval rating of the Greens actually fell by 3.2 percentage points to 10% in this poll. Why do you think that might be the case?
As I said, I think it's not good to read too much into one poll. There have been other polls, in fact, you know, others that were released yesterday showing an increase in support for us. And ultimately, from our end, we know we have work to do to continue putting out solutions and talking to people on the ground and not take anything for granted. So, you know, we'll continue working hard to make sure that we can propose alternatives to an economic system that has allowed the wealthy few to get richer and then everyday people continue to struggle by. And that includes things like tax reform, that includes things like more public housing, better resourcing our public healthcare system.
Speaking to the media after making his recent State of the Nation speech, Chris Hipkins said that if he and Labour were to be elected in the 2026 election, as these poll results indicate could be a possibility, Labour would keep policies of Nationals, such as the gang patch ban and the fast track legislation. How does this make you feel?
I think it's really concerning to see Labour actually being timid and supporting policies that have no evidence that they will actually support our communities and the well-being of our planet. This is why the Greens won't take anything for granted, because we cannot rely on Labour for the transformative change that our communities need. And this is why we have a job to do to ensure that we are a much, much larger voice and a much larger party to ensure that Labour doesn't just keep things the same. Our people deserve far more than just, you know, a few steps in the right direction, but then keeping terrible policies that don't work.
All right, moving on to the last topic. The Greens recently launched a petition calling on the government to extend visa-free travel to visitors from Pacific Island nations. Can you give us a rundown on this petition and why it's so important?
I've been working with Tiana for many years now on this issue, and part of it is that we have right now dozens and dozens of countries whose citizens are allowed to visit us. Almost no questions asked. Like, it's a very high trust model. You don't really have to pay money. And yet people from the Pacific have to face visa delays and have to fork out a substantive amount of money to even just be able to visit relatives. What this shows us is that our immigration system actually doesn't treat our Pacific partner with the respect and dignity that we often talk about in political rhetoric, which is why it's time to grant visa waiver status to our Pacific neighbors in the same way we do for countries like the US, Canada, the UK, and even my homeland in Mexico, for example, that has visa waiver status.
So in this petition, are the Greens calling for visa-free travel for just short trips or also for long-term stay and work?
I think to me there is a conversation we need to have about, for example, how we have a broader immigration system that actually acknowledges our relationships to the Pacific. So for example, we've previously called for things like pathways to residency for our Pacific workers. But one of the places to start is by granting visa waiver status to our Pacific neighbors to ensure that, for example, when family members are visiting Aotearoa, that they can do so with ease and without financial barriers.
The freedom of movement of Pacifica is something that almost all parties in the government and opposition have shown at least some amount of support for, noting the unanimous support for the Restoring Citizenship Removed by Citizenship Bill for wrongfully deported Samoans and Chris Luxon's removal of transit visas for Fijians last year. Does this make you feel hopeful that the petition will be heard in Parliament?
I think it's time for the government to take action and grant visa waiver status for people in the Pacific. They don't need to wait for us to table the petition. They could do it anytime from now. Because I think our Pacific communities deserve a government that takes action and doesn't just conveniently put in a report that this is something that should be explored and then just let it accumulate dust. But the Greens will be championing this issue in the same way we champion Tiano's bill to ensure that we can restore citizenship to hundreds of Samoans who had it wrongfully taken it away from them.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.